لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد we continue our discussion about شروط وجوب الزكاة about شروط وجوب الزكاة the conditions and the requirements that must be present for and fulfilled that must be present and fulfilled for the obligation of zakat to be applied to a specific individual. We have seen that the conditions are a number and we have taken some of them from them at Islam and that a person he must be a Muslim and there's no zakat on the wealth of a disbeliever. And likewise, al-hurriya must be a free person, and there's no zakat on the wealth of a slave if he had wealth, if he had wealth. And likewise, that the wealth it must be from al-amwal zakawiyya, the wealth it must be from al-amwal zakawiyya, the type of wealth that the zakat is required upon, meaning that not every type of wealth. Would be required to pay zakat on it. Rather, there are specific types. So it must be from those types. And likewise, a person, he must have al-milk, al-tam. He must have complete ownership. He must have complete ownership of the wealth, meaning that he's able to do what he wants with his wealth whenever he wants and he's able to benefit from it at any moment that he needs to. That he needs to. We have seen some of the details with regards to these affairs. And likewise, we had taken as well the condition with regards to the fact that the wealth it must be halal, that the wealth it must be permissible. And with regards to this condition, we discussed yesterday that the wealth that is considered haram, the wealth al-mal al-haram is considered thalathatu aqsam. Al-mal al-haram thalathatu aqsam is three different types. In our previous class, we mentioned two of them only, and we forgot to mention the third. So the type of wealth that is considered haram is three types. We took two of them yesterday. The first one was the type of wealth that is stolen. It does not belong to the person whatsoever. He does not have ownership over it whatsoever, whether the wealth is stolen. The wealth is stolen, whether somebody stole it and ripped them off whenever they're not looking, or whether they strong-armed them and took it from them by force, whatever the case may be. The first one is called al-mal al-masruq, and the second one is called al-mal al-maksub. They have the similar yani understanding. So whoever has their hands on that wealth, then it's an obligation for them to return it back to the owner. And he will not pay zakat on that wealth. It does not belong to him. It does not belong to him. He will not pay zakat on that wealth. So this is considered al-mal al-haram. There's no zakat there. Rather, what is an obligation is for that wealth to be returned back to the owner. For that wealth to be returned back to the owner. The second type of al-mal al-haram that we discussed yesterday is the one that a person, he earned the wealth by way or by means that are impermissible and haram. By means that are impermissible and haram. So therefore, he has milk, he has ownership over it, but his ownership over that wealth is impermissible and haram and not allowed. So it came into his ownership and it came into his possession from an avenue that's not allowed and not permissible. So this wealth here, first and foremost, what is obligatory is that he must get rid of it. Not giving it as in charity, not with the intention of charity. Charity will not be accepted from this wealth here. This wealth that he knows is haram and he knows is impermissible. This wealth here, the way to repent from that is to give it away with the intention of getting rid of it and getting it out of one's possession, knowing that it's not allowed and knowing that it's filthy wealth and not permissible, and to get rid of it in that manner like this. And to get rid of it in that manner like this. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that he will give it yani to the Muslims. They will build, for example, akramukum Allah, restrooms with them. Or they'll build roads and the likes with this type of wealth. Yani and the likes like this. It'll be put yani in the masalih al-muslimin al-amma, in the general benefit of the believers, yani for their general benefit of the Muslims. It will be spent like this. Yani it will not will be given to the masjid to build for the masjid and the likes like this, and Allah knows best. In any case, he'll give it away with this intention at takhallus. If he did that, this is the means for repentance. This is the means for repentance. If he did not fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he kept that money in his hand The money that he made from haram means, like interest, for example, or selling alcohol, or selling drugs, or selling pork, or any other transaction, any that he earned that wealth by way of, that is impermissible. Whether it's impermissible in itself or for some reason there was the something in the contract that made it haram and not allowed, whatever the case may be, that money came to him. If he did not repent and fear Allah, and he kept that money in his hand, and he did what he wanted with it, and he spent it, it's an obligation for him to pay zakat on that wealth. But not as a means of purifying his wealth, because this wealth will not be purified for him in this way, but rather as a means of fulfilling the right of the poor with regards to that wealth. With regards to that wealth, this is what we discussed in our previous class. Now, also the third type of wealth is a type of wealth that is considered al-mal al-muharram liwasfihi, al-mal al-muharram liwasfihi. A type of wealth that is considered impermissible because of its description. Because of its description. And the example the people of knowledge they make with regards to this is, for example, a woman, she has jewelry. She has jewelry from gold or from silver, which is generally permissible. But this particular jewelry is in the shape of an animal, in the shape of an animal, or in the shape of a butterfly, in the shape of a horse, or in the shape of some type of living beings. It's like a small statue. It'll be like considered a small statue. These are considered tamathil. So this shape here, and the fact that this gold was crafted into this shape that is impermissible, now that wealth is considered haram. Not in itself, not because gold is haram for her to have, but rather because of the craftsmanship that has been done, it's been changed into this form. So this type of wealth here, the people of Nod, as they mentioned, there is a consensus that they must pay zakat on that. That even if it's jewelry, the woman, she wants to wear it as jewelry, but it's in the form of a living being that has a soul, then there's a consensus that she must pay zakat on that. That she must pay zakat on that. And if it reached the nisab, if it reached the nisab. So this is from that aspect of al-mal al-muharram. Likewise, another example of al-mal al-muharram liwasfihi, the type of wealth that is impermissible because of its description or characteristic, is, for example, a man who purchased some type of jewelry that is made of gold, and he purchased that for himself to wear. Like some of the people do today, we find some of them wearing necklaces or bracelets, or some of them will wear rings or watches, or they will wear, even to the extent some of them have earrings, made of gold. So this right here, this is impermissible. This mal is impermissible. The gold is not impermissible in itself, but the fact that it's jewelry and the man has taken it for himself to use, and the jewelry, the gold is haram for the males of this ummah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pointed to the dhahab, to the gold, he said, "Inna hadha haramun ala dhukuri ummati wa halalun li inathihim." That verity, this gold here, is haram for the males of my ummah, and it's allowed for the females. So this wealth here would be considered haram likewise for him to have that. For him to have some jewelry made from gold that he intends to wear for himself as decoration and adornment, this jewelry here is haram. But along with that, there's a consensus that he, if it reaches the nisab, or if it's added to his wealth to reach the nisab, then it is an obligation to pay zakat on that. Then it is an obligation to pay zakat on that. So this was the fifth condition that we discussed. And then we were discussing previously, likewise, murur al-hawl, that the item must be in the possession of the individual for an entire year. And what is considered here? The lunar year. He must have it in his possession for a lunar year. But this is with regards to specific types of wealth. And that was with regards to the gold and the silver. And likewise to that which, and he has the same ruling, which is the modern day currency. And also with regards to the animals, from the cattle, the camels and the cows and the sheep and goats. And also, likewise, with regards to those items that are used for commerce, buying and selling and trading, whatever items they may be, that a person, he has them and he intends to sell them, then likewise, any of the hold is included here. As for with regards to the crops, there's no hawl on that. And also with regards to the ma'din and the rikaz, there's no hawl on that. We discuss those issues later, insha'Allah ta'ala. Insha'Allah ta'ala. So this is where we had left off in our previous class. The seventh condition, and the last one that we discussed with regards to the obligation of zakat, bulughu an-nisab. Bulughu an-nisab. That the wealth it must reach an-nisab. An-nisab. And the people of knowledge, they mention that an-nisab huwa al-qadr alladhi rattaba shari'u wujub az-zakati ala bulughihi. Al-qadr min al-mal, yani min al-mal az-zakawi. الذي رتب الشارع وجوب الزكاة على بلوغه. This is what is the nisab, the amount that the wealth must reach for the obligation of zakat to be applied. So therefore, if a person he did not have any wealth, he would be considered poor and needy. There's no zakat on him. Likewise, a person he has wealth, but his wealth does not reach the nisab. There's no zakat on him. Likewise, there's no zakat on him. Likewise, somebody who has wealth, somebody who has sheep, but he doesn't have enough. Somebody who has camels, but he doesn't have enough. Somebody who has cows, but he doesn't have enough. Somebody who has gold and silver, or he has dollars, but he doesn't have enough. He doesn't have enough. His wealth throughout the whole year never reaches the nisab. Then there's no zakat on him. There's no zakat on him. Rather, he will be from those who will be allowed to receive the zakat. From those who will be allowed to receive the zakat, and Allah knows best. So this is the issue here. But likewise, there's an exception with regards to the nisab also, with regards to the crops, and with regards to the ma'din and the rikaz. So it's similar to the hawl. As for the crops, then Allah, he mentioned, فَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ. Then you must pay its right on the day of its harvest. This is with regards to the crops. So on the day that of harvest, that's the day the zakat is due. And likewise, with regards to the ma'din and the likes from the rikaz, and those treasures that are found from the kufar that are buried in old and left, and the person he found them, then likewise he will pay the zakat on that at that moment that he finds it. It will be due as soon as it comes into his possession. So therefore, the nisab will be with regards to the gold and the silver and the currency, and the nisab will be with regards to the cattle, the behemoth al-anam, and with regards to the urud al-tijara, with regards to the items that are presented and prepared for selling, for buying and selling and trade. Yani the one that he wants to sell them in order to make a profit. So to summarize, in brief, the nisab for the dhahab, the people of knowledge have for dhahab and for fidda, for the gold and the silver, they have looked into the text of the Sunnah, and they have calculated the amount in modern terms, in kilograms. So we see that the nisab for dhahab is 85 grams. The nisab for dhahab is 85 grams. If somebody has 85 grams of gold, if somebody has 85 grams of gold or more, and then 1 year passes while that's in his possession, it will be an obligation for him to pay zakat on that. 85 grams of gold. And as for the silver, then it's 595 grams of silver. 595 grams of silver. So if a person, he had 595 grams of silver, and 1 year passed while that's in his possession, and it never went below that, this is a point that we will discuss, inshallah, with regards to the nisab, then he will have to pay zakat on that. And as for the crops, the people of Nara, as they mentioned, that it's 612 kilogram. 612 kilo. Whoever has farmland and he harvests his crops, and his crops that he has reached 612 kilos, he has to pay zakat on that. He would have to pay zakat on that. On those crops. As for the camels, then the nisab is 5 camels. If he has 5 or more, and he has them in his possession for the whole year, then he has to pay zakat on those camels. Likewise, on the bakar, on the cows, and the nisab for the cows is 30. If a person, he has 30 cows, and he has them in his possession for 1 year, then he has to pay zakat on them. He has to pay zakat on them. And likewise the ghanam. And likewise the ghanam. The ghanam are the sheep. Are the sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats. So if a person, he has 40 sheep, and 1 year goes by while they're in his possession, then he will have to pay zakat on them. And then with regards to these animals, there's levels. If from one number to the next number, there's this much. And then the next number after that, it increases. As the animals increase, then the zakat increases. As the animals increase, the zakat increases. For example, with regards to the camels, a person, if he has 5 to 9, he has to pay 1 sheep. He'll pay 1 sheep. If he has 5 to 9 camels, if he reaches 5, between 5 and 9, and he has them in his possession for 1 whole year, then he will have to pay 1 sheep. For those camels. For those camels. That's the price that he pays, the zakat that he owes for those camels. As for if it reached 10 to 14, then he will pay 2. If his amount of camels reached 10, now he has to pay 2. From 10 to 14, two sheep. Two sheep or 2 goat, any either one of them, the sheep or the goat. And each one of these animals, there's 2 types of them. The camels have 2 types of camels. The cows have 2 types of cows, and the sheep, they have 2 types likewise. The sheep, you have the goat and the sheep. They're both considered ghanam. And the cows, you have the cows and the buffaloes. They're both considered bakar. And the camels, there you have the, what they call it, al-arabiya, and you have al-bukhtiya. The arabiya is the one that has 1 hump, and the bukhtiya is the one that has 2 humps. And all of them, they have zakat in them. All of them, they have zakat in them. And they're included here. So the person who has the sheep, any of the sheep or the goat, if it reaches 40, then there's zakat. It's from 40 to 120. Any number between these two numbers, he pays one sheep. If it reaches 121, it will go from 121 to 200. To 200, he'll pay 2 sheep like this. From 201 to 300, 3 sheep. In this manner like this. As they increase, any of the numbers will change slightly. With regards to the camels, as they increase, any of the he will go from paying a sheep to paying a small camel, and then to a larger camel, and then to 2 larger camels, and the likes like this. And when you get into the hundreds, the obligation changes. But just so that we have a general understanding now with regards to this nisab here. There's an important point now that the nisab, once it reaches the nisab, it must remain there for the entire year. It must remain there for the entire year. The nisab, it must remain there for the entire year. For example, a person, he has 25 sheep. He has 25 sheep. Does he have to pay zakat?
No.
No, he doesn't have to pay zakat. He has 25 sheep. He doesn't have to pay zakat. If he bought he bought 25 more. Huh? Then how many does he have?
50.
Huh? Does he have to pay zakat?
Yeah.
Now he starts the nisab. Whenever he, so now that's the question. So he has 25 sheep.
Right.
There's no zakat on them.
Right.
Now he buys 25 more. He reached the nisab.
Yeah.
So when does the hole start?
A year later.
From the first sheep, or from whenever he reached the nisab? From whenever he reached the nisab.
Yeah,
the hole starts for him whenever he reached the nisab. We understand the point?
Yeah.
Huh? This is clear? So we wouldn't say, he bought the sheep, for example, last month, 25,
right.
And then in 2 months, he buys 25 more. So he wouldn't start the whole from last month. We'll start the whole from that time, whenever his possession reached the nisab. From whenever what he has in his possession reached the nisab. That's when the whole starts for him. So we'll say now he has 50 sheep. He has 50 sheep, and then something happened, the wolf comes and eats 11 of them. Now how many does he have?
39.
Now he has 39. A wolf comes and tears up his property and takes 11 of them. So now his sheep go to 39. So now what happens to the hole?
Yanqati'.
His hole is finished. His hole is finished. Next week, he buys 1 more sheep. Now he has 40 again. Huh? So now what does he do? Go from last month or from the old hole? No, the hole starts again. The hole starts again. You understand that? So the nisab for the sheep is 40. If it goes under that by one, the hole stops. Whenever he reaches the 40, whenever he reaches the nisab, the hole begins. And he must have that amount or more in his possession for one whole year. And then after that, he'll pay the zakat. It will become obligatory upon him. As for if throughout the year the hole decreased from the nisab, then the hole stops. Then if he gets again in his possession another the nisab, the hole starts again from the time he has possession and ownership of the nisab. We understand this point here? This is very important. This is very important. With regards to the hole. The same thing with the wealth. The same thing with the wealth. So we talked about the nisab for the dhahab and the fidda. What's the nisab for the dhahab? What is dhahab?
Gold.
Gold. How do you say silver? Fidda. Fidda. Al-dhahabu wal-fidda. Why they call it dhahab? لَنَّهُ يَذْهَبْ The gold, they call the gold gold. Dhahab, in literally in the Arabic language, it means gold. Al-dhahab. But also the verb means dhahab, to go. So the dhahab, yadhahab. The dhahab, it goes. And it is something funny that people don't know, as they mentioned. But the what is the nisab for the dhahab?
85
grams. 85 grams. So if a person, he has 80 grams, does he have to pay zakat on his gold? No. If he has 85 grams and then he sold 5 grams 6 months later, what happens? He has 85 grams. Now the hole starts, huh? 6 months later, he sells 5 grams. What happens to the hole? It stops. It stops. He sold 5 grams because he needed some money. He needs some money, so he sold 5 grams to get him to take care of some business. It's enough for him. So now his hole stops. What about if he has 85 grams? What about if he has 85 grams, now he reaches the nisab, huh? Yeah. Okay, but now the hole is about to come, and he's greedy and stingy, and he don't want to pay zakat. So he sells 5 grams real quick to get out of the hole. Uh-huh. What's the ruling for him?
He still has to pay the zakat.
يُعَامَلُ بِنَقِيضِ قَسْتِهِ He will be dealt with according to, contrary to his intention. He was only getting rid of that in order to avoid the hole. So his intention, he will be dealt with according to that. And this is what he tried to do, but that will not work for him. And now it will not be allowed for him. And he will still be obligated to pay that. To pay that. So the hole will not stop for this person. So somebody tried to do something tricky, or try to play games and the likes like this, we say maybe you can fool the people sometime, but you cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an obligation that a person, and he will do his duty, and he will do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He give it as a gift. Whatever he likes to do with it. He can give it away. If he gave 5 grams as a gift, that's all good. If he gave 5 grams away as a gift, the same thing if he sold it. The ruling is the same. The ruling is the same. Now he only has 80 grams in his possession. That's under the nisab. But if he gave it with the intention to avoid zakat, then this will not work for him. This will not be accepted from him, and he will be taken to account for that. And it would not be considered that he broke the hole. The hole would still be considered at that time. He gave up 5 grams as a gift. He wanted to get rid of it so that his wealth would go under the hole because he doesn't want to pay zakat. And he said, we gave a gift to somebody else, huh? But he doesn't want to pay the obligation. Probably the obligation that he has to pay for Allah is lesser than the gift that he gave. Allah understand. The point is, we understand the issue. Whether he sold it, whether he gave it, this is the case. That if the wealth reaches the nisab, then now the hole begins. If the wealth goes underneath the nisab any time during the hole, then it stops. Except in the case of the one who's trying to deceive and trick and get out of the legislation and to get out of paying zakat, then this one, it will not benefit him. Then this one, it will not benefit him. There were some exceptions that we spoke about yesterday, and we go over them again. And we made some mistake in the numbers, but I think the point was clear. The point was clear. With regards to the hole, that there is certain type of wealth that the hole is not recognized or considered, from that wealth, From that what? For example, the animals. From the example of the animals, if the animals, they give birth, then those new animals, they follow the original animals. So we don't count a new hole for those. We don't count the new hole for those. So we remember the sheep. What is the nisab for the sheep?
40.
So if you have 40, between 40 to 120, you pay one sheep. You pay one sheep. So we say, for example, if we have 40 and all of them, they gave birth to two. All of them that gave birth to two. How many do we have now? 120. Is 120 total. So you have 80 from
40 plus they gave birth. Another 40,
that's 80. Uh-huh,
it's 80.
They give
two each. 120. It's 120. Uh-huh, so you have 40. 40 of them that gave birth to two. How do you add this up? 40 times?
80
two. 40 times two is? Huh? 40 times two is? 80. Plus 40. So you have 40, and those 40 gave birth to two each. So the how many kids do we have?
80.
Plus how many parents do we have?
40.
How many do you have total?
120.
How much does he have to give zakat? One. Taib, we'll say all of them that gave birth to two, except for one of them he gave birth to three. So now how many does he have? 120?
One.
So now how many does he owe?
Two.
He owes two. We wouldn't say here that, okay, well, the first 40, the hole is in Ramadan, for example, and then any 6 months later, while you're waiting, before the hole comes, they're giving birth. And these animals are giving birth all throughout the hole. So the it's not considered, this one was born on this day, and that one was born on that day, and this one was born on this month. All of these animals here, that they came from these animals here that have their original hole. So therefore, they're following the asl. They're following the original animals. We understand? You understand? Everything, this is clear. This is clear. So now these animals they had, they gave birth to the extent that now his wealth grew until he reached the next category where he has to give two. Although those animals came from in that same year, and those actual, the babies that were given birth to, the hole didn't go over them. And this is not required. This is the point that we want to make. Everybody understand that. They follow the origin. Likewise, dollars. A person, he has money, there's a zakat on. For $5,000, for example, he has zakat on that. He has to pay zakat on. He got $5,000. He did some job. He got $5,000. He's saving it. That $5,000 he's saving, it reached the nisab. So now it's going 6 months later. He put it in investment, and he made 5,000 more from that 5,000. This new 5,000 does not have its own hole. The new 5,000, which is the profit of this 5,000, is like those sheep. They're following the origin. We understand that? This is clear? As for somebody, he had $5,000. He got $5,000. He's saving it. 6 months later, he got an inheritance, $5,000. Now, will this new $5,000 follow this first $5,000? No, it's not obligatory. Although it's allowed. If he wants to go ahead and add it to that $5,000 and pay the zakat all at one time, it's allowed for him, but it's not obligatory. Because maybe the second $5,000, which was an inheritance, maybe he'll use it up even before the hole comes. That's why it's not obligatory. He has 1 year for that money to be in his possession. This is from the justice and the wisdom of the legislation of Allah. So there's no oppression here. This money is different. The reason why he owns this money is different than the reason why he owns this money. So whenever the reason is different, or whenever the money is different, then the holes are different. Maybe he's saving this money, and then maybe he'll use this money for his needs and to take care of his family or whatever he wants to do, which is allowed for him. By the time the hole on the second money goes around, it's gone. Or it went under the nisab. But if he wanted to, it's allowed to include it there. So similar like this, what we have today, we spoke about this yesterday, but we repeat it again because of the benefit that we have. Many people, they save money from their paycheck. Many people, they get paychecks, for example. So every paycheck, and if it reached the nisab, it's considered like its own wealth. Every paycheck has its own reason. This paycheck was for this month, and next paycheck is for that month, and the next paycheck is for that month. So if a person, he got a paycheck, and every single month he saved an amount, he saved an amount that was the nisab or more, every month he would have a hole. If the first year went around, he'd pay the zakat on the first one. The second year went around, he paid this. So after 1 year, he'll be paying a zakat on every month. He'll be paying a zakat on that which he had saved. That which he has saved. So this could become a little bit difficult to keep track of this month, and then the next month, and the next month, and like this, to keep this record. So likewise, this person here, it's allowed for him to gather them all together. We'll say the hold is in Ramadan. So all year round, every month he's saving $1,000, for example, reaching the nisab. Then in the end, when Ramadan comes, he will add up what he has in his hand. He will add up what he has in his hand, and then he will make zakat on that. And that's even if the savings from Sha'ban, the month just before, just came in, just got that money last month. It's not obligatory. What's obligatory is to wait for Sha'ban to come. But it's allowed for him to make it easy for him to gather it all together and to pay all at one time. And then he will not have to worry about it, and the obligation is fulfilled. The obligation is fulfilled. We understand that part? Okay. Okay, alhamdulillah.
How much is the nisab for the...
Jazakallah khairan. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
I was going that way, and then I got distracted. The money. The cash money. So the people of knowledge, they differed about how to add this up. In dollars, for example. So dollars, what did they follow?
Gold
and silver. The dollars, they follow the issue of gold and silver. So some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that you look at, because gold is the origin with regards to these affairs. Gold is the origin. The origin is gold. And gold, it holds its value. Gold, it holds its value, or it increases. Very seldomly does the gold go down, a lot. As for silver, then it's decreasing and decreasing and decreasing and the likes like this. And gold, its value, likewise, is closer to the value of the other aspects, likewise, like the animals and the likes like this. It's closer, in comparison. So since gold is the asl, is the foundation with regards to the gold and silver, then the value of the gold is what is considered. This is one position. The value of the gold is what is considered. You understand that? So what's the nisab of the gold?
85.
So upon this point, upon this way right here, what will we have to do?
Cash it.
We have to find out the value on the day when he wants to pay zakat. He looks at the value of 1 gram of gold. The value of 1 gram of gold on that at that time in his land, anywhere he's at, where he's gonna pay zakat. He'll look at the value of 1 gram of gold. 2 days ago, I checked. I checked on one of the websites. Actually, a number of them, and they're all almost exactly the same, very close. And it's mentioned that the gold is $56.31 a gram. $56.31 a gram. So now, what do you do? You multiply it by 85. This comes out with $4,786.31. $4,786. So this would be considered the nisab if we're comparing the money to the gold. We're basing it on gold. So the person who had $4,786.31, and he $4,787 almost like this in his possession for 1 year or more, and then he would have to pay zakat on that. We understand this here? Okay. Then the other position, which is the position of the Lajna Da'ima, and many of the scholars, the board of major scholars in the Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Saudiya, may Allah preserve them, they mentioned that we would not go by gold or silver, not like that, absolutely, but whether we go by the one that is more beneficial for the poor people. Whichever one is more beneficial for the poor people. أَيُّهُمَا أَحَظُّ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ نَنْظُرْ أَيَّهُمَا أَحَظُّ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ. Which one is more beneficial for the poor people? So that means that we'll look at the lowest one. We'll look at the lowest one. So the what was the nisab for the fidda? 595. I also looked, likewise, 1 gram of silver is 67 cents. So 595 times 0.67, huh? That makes any $398.65, almost $400. There's a great difference between the two. And so according to the fatwa of Lajna Daima, then that would be the nisab. So somebody who had $400 in his possession for approximately, yani, this is approximately, whenever a person he wants to pay zakat, he needs to check on that day. And he needs to verify or the person who is considered wealthy, or he has income, his money is coming in and he's saving, monthly, then he needs to check about these affairs. So approximately is $400. Approximately is for 300, I hear, I need 2 days ago, $398.65. So the one who has that limit for 1 year, then he will have to pay zakat on that. And now we have the issue, how much would he pay? How much will he pay on the gold and the silver? The gold and the silver, you pay ruba' ushur. And the way to decide this is that whatever amount you want to pay zakat on, you divide it by 40. That's it. People say 2.5%. That's right, but how do you do it? What's the safest way? What's the easy way to determine how much a person owes? He will calculate the wealth he has in his hand and he'll divide it by 40. And this will give him the amount that he has to pay. What is 100 divided by 40? $2.50. So this is the way. What is 1,000 divided by 40? 20, like this. So however much money he needs to pay zakat on, he divides it by 40. And then the result is the zakat that he owes. We understand that part? Mm-hmm. Huh? Alhamdulillah.
How much was the nisab and how much you have to pay? Is it the 30, the nisab?
Uh-huh.
But how much you have to pay?
For every cow?
Yeah.
If he reaches 30, you have to pay a tabi'ah. I think it's 1 year old, is going into the second year. For the one who has cows, he will pay a cow. It's called a tabi'ah. It's like a cow that reached 1 year old and it started the second year. It's following his mother wherever he goes. That's why they call him tabi'ah. Like this. So he'll pay one. If he has from 30, the one who has cows, the nisab is 30. And it goes from 30 to 39. One tabi'a or one tabi'a. Any male or female of this type of cow. From 40 to 59. Huh? Well, this is what the fuqaha they say. And this is what has come actually, that actually with regards to these affairs, there's a very famous hadith. A very long narration in Sahih Bukhari, and it's the hadith the hadith is Sadiqah, Fariyat Sadiqah, and it's known like this, and it's the hadith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu he wrote to Anas ibn Malik whenever he sent him to Bahrain, he sent Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu to Bahrain to be an emir there and the likes like this, and to take care of the affairs of the ummah there. For the authority or under the authority of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he wrote to him this narration, and it mentioned and it said, هذه فريضة الصدقة التي فرضها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفرضها الله على رسوله وعلى المسلمين until the end of the hadith, and he began with the camels. And then he went through the camels, and then likewise with the crops, and likewise with the gold and silver. As for with regards to the cows, then there's another narration from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, and all the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to Al-Yemen, and he mentioned to him for every thalathin, tabi'ah, like this. And then whenever it's two, if you have from 30 to 39, you pay one. From 40 to 59, you pay namusinna. A musinna is one that's older. It's a year older than the other one. It's an older animal, a cow. And then if you have from 60 to 69, you have two tabi'ah. And then if you have from 70 to 79, you have a tabi' and a musinna. And these are two names of two types of animals. Two types of animals, and two types of cows. So these animals, the sheep and the cows and the camels, according to their age, they have names for them. And sometimes the name is the same, but with regards to the camel and the sheep is different. And maybe they call it jada', but the jada' from the sheep and the jada' from the camel is different. Different age. So we have to pay attention. So they have these different age of animals. Yani those that are small and those that are older. And as the amount that a person has goes through the zakat, he will pay differently. He'll pay differently.
I have three names. Aql, Tabi', Thawr.
Thawr. Sah. There's many names. Sahih. For these different animals. So this is the nisab for that. So any questions with regards to this issue here? No. Wallahu a'lam. They talk about a dhahab al khalis. And if it's if you look at the one that's original. As for the different carats, I don't know. Wallahu a'lam, you have to review some details with regards to that. So when we talk about the gold, a person who has gold, meaning he has pure gold. And also what is intended, I mean, we're going to discuss these issues in more detail, but this is something that requires any review and preparation and the likes like that. After we finish this, the next class, inshallah, we start at Naqdain. Any of the issue here, this is one of the most important points for us today, because most people, they don't have camels or cows or sheep, but the majority of the people they have dollars. So that we will discuss that in detail. The gold, though, whether it's gold, like golden gold or white gold, so long as it's pure gold. Because now that they have white gold. Now they have white gold, and the white gold is still pure gold. They just do something in craftsmanship and they change the color of it. But it's still pure gold. So they need the dhahab and dhahab al-khalis. Al-dhahab al-khalis. As for if it was mixed with something else, wallahu a'lam, you have to take the mix out and weigh it according to the purity of that. Wallahu a'lam. Naam.
Falls into that category.
What's that?
Platinum.
No, there's no zakat on platinum. Any in itself like that. Platinum is not from the al-amwal al-zakawiyya, except
it's from one of the ores.
Huh?
It's come
from the ground. Wallahu a'lam. Maybe. Except. We'll talk about that inshallah. That's called Al-Masalat Al-Hulli. Al-Hulli, the jewelry. When would the platinum be the zakat on the platinum? Whenever somebody has it for sale. If somebody had a platinum ring, for example. Somebody has a platinum ring with a diamond in it. $10,000. Platinum ring with a diamond in it. $10,000. Is there a cat on it?
Huh? Yes.
She wears it, for example, a woman. Huh? There's no zakat on it. Was diamonds from the Amwal al-Zakawiyya? No. Was platinum from the Amwal al-Zakawiyya?
La.
When would this diamond ring become having zakat be considered? Whenever they put it for sale. Now it would, because it's something, it's an item for sale. As for itself, la. Understand? So with regards to the nisab of the dollars, as I mentioned, the Al-Lajna Da'imah, the Board of Major Scholars, they mentioned that what one would consider is the one that has the lowest cost. So now, no doubt, the lowest cost is the silver. So again, the silver a few days ago was 67 cents for 1 gram. So 595 grams, by 67 cents, is $398.65, which is approximately $400. So that's much less. The other one was $4,786.31. So it's almost $5,000, close to $5,000. So there's a big difference. So what is safest, and Allah knows best, if he had $400 to pay this account on that. And because this one is the observing the right of the poor, and also it's any abra'u li dhimmatihi, that he is freeing himself from blame. And then on top of that, we ask, how much is the zakat on $400?
$10.
400 divided by 40, right? That's how you say it, right? 400 divided by 40?
$10.
$10. It's $10. A little bit of money from a lot of money. It does not hurt the one who owns it, and it benefits the one who needs it. So if somebody he had $400, it's very easy for him to give a poor person $10. It's very easy for him to give a person $10, and he's got $400, Daddy. So, that's safer, and Allah knows best. That's safer, and Allah knows best. But somebody who had the nisab of dhahab, no doubt he's wealthy. No doubt, there's no doubt about that. He would have to pay. He's from those who are considered wealthy. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so somebody who has, for example, $300, does he have to pay zakat?
Yeah.
And he's saving $300. Does he have to pay zakat? If somebody after that next month he adds to his 300, 300 more, he's got $600. Now, what does he start doing? From the time that came into his possession, he counts the whole. 7 months later, he spends 300 from it to pay some debt or to pay some bill or something like that. Now what happens? The whole is finished. The whole is finished. Right, and then right after that, somebody loaned him $300 more. Now he's got $600 again. What does he do? Go back to the same hole, or a new hole? The new hole. He starts a new hole because his wealth went underneath the limit, and then it raised back up. So when it raised back up, the original period was cut off, and now that when it came back up, the period begins again. So some people there. Considered poor, but they have money, or maybe their money go in the beginning of the month, for example, or in the middle of the month, it goes up to the nisab, but by the end of the month, they don't have, the nisab is gone. It is below, it's either nothing, or almost nothing, or in any case, it's lesser than the nisab. So this person, he's just living by, he's not saving money. So the zakat is for the people who are saving money, their money is growing. And that's where the zakat is at, is in the money that has growth. And it's possible that there can be, you can help others with it. Musawat. You can make others and help others to benefit with that wealth. You had a question, brother?
Yeah, I think you just answered. If I had $1,000 and I'm taking from it, it is higher than 400. Do I pay?
Somebody has
it. Stay over a year, but I have $1,000. I'm picking it back and forth.
If you have $1,000. So long as it stays above the limit, so as long as it stays above the 400,
okay.
You understand? Then it reaches the nisab. So if somebody has 1,000, then he used 400 of that, and then he has 1,000 again, and then he used 500 of that. You understand? He keeps on building. We make the example: the nisab is $400. But if he reaches he gets $400. He's saving it. One whole year goes by, he still has $400 exactly in his account. He pays $10. Tayyib, he got $400. The time is going by, and then his money grows from that 400. Now he has 4,000.
100.
Huh? Now he's going to pay zakat on the whole thing. It's growing from that. You understand? You understand? The point that we had before was if the money is different sources, different reasons, different types, the whole will be different. But what is easiest, those people who have money, put it all together and pay it at one time. Instead of trying, this money is, its period is this time, and this money, its period is this time, and this money, its period is this time. Maybe a person will get confused, or maybe he will be negligent. But as if he put it all together and paid it all at once, then one of them will be paid on time, and the rest of the money will be paid early. We paid early, and that's allowed. As for delaying it, then that's not allowed. That's not allowed. Everybody understand that? Alhamdulillah. Any
if
other
questions? If the just came to you tonight, for example, and you had money, stash, and you didn't take account, take account now?
Somebody, for example, he had $200. He's saving $200. Does he have zakat? No zakat. And then maybe like six months from now, he gets $200 more and he adds it to his savings. So now what does he do?
At that time
he starts counting the nisab.
The question is, if he has $5,000sitting and he didn't take the time to know his knowledge, the pays of the cat, to know when it starts. What do you do with that? You know, it just came tonight to know. You take the $5,000
Then he would do his best to figure out whenever that money came into his possession, he'll pay the zakat on that. Somebody, for example, who was negligent, he's a Muslim, and he never paid zakat because he didn't know, or he's negligent, he didn't learn. Whatever the case may be, he was stingy even. You know, that's a debt that must be paid. So he would figure out what he had last year and the year before that. He would do his best to try to determine approximately the wealth that he had saved, and he'll pay the zakat on that. He'll pay the zakat on that. You understand? So if somebody forgot, or somebody he didn't know, or somebody was negligent, or somebody was stingy, whatever the case, he will figure that out. He'll repent, and he will think about his previous time since he's been wealthy, and he'll try to his best to determine the proper amount and pay zakat on that for the sake of Allah. And Allah knows best. It will not drop off, Yani, the point is.
If somebody has properties, houses, and he's renting them, he owns the houses.
No. We'll discuss this likewise, inshallah. That which a person owns and he uses for himself, there's no zakat on that. For example, his car. He drives his car. He's got 3-4 cars. His family drives. There's no zakat on that. His couches. There's no zakat on that. A person, he owns property, and he owns houses, and he uses those houses to rent. There's no zakat on those houses, but there's zakat on the. On the money earned from those houses. Understand? We'll talk about this, inshallah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.